Yay. There we go. I've done this before a few times now. I like this to use the candle as an open eye meditation. Now, where I focus my sight on the candle, and you can either listen to the words I say, or you can breathe in on one, out on two, in on three, out on four. I often do that with a lit candle. I just focus and I count to four. But you decide. And here we go. Take a breath. Let's go on in. And breathe in and breathe up and breathe all the way through. And as I look at this, I like to affirm that the Christ in me is awake now. Because what is the Christ? But my divine, we'll call it childship with God, with Source, with principle. I am one with principle. I am one with love. I am one with all that is good, all that is holy. Yes, the Christ in me is awake now. And those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me, please? The Christ in me is awake now. Oh, how fantastic. Christ in me, awakened at the highest point of my being, because the Christ is the highest point of my being. The Christ is not a person. The Christ is a consciousness. Jesus, in his highest consciousness, had this title bestowed upon him. The word didn't even exist in his neighborhood. But the Christ, the anointed one, but the Christ, my memory of God, my memory of good, my memory of life and life more abundant, my memory of wisdom and peace. And presence itself. Christ in me awake now as my intelligence awakened in me now. And within my intelligence awakened in me now, all healing is possible. Healing of mind and healing of body. Healing of relationships. Healing of finances. Christ awakened in me paves the way for the divine wisdom and intelligence, for me to have a full healing so that I may be present with you. Christ awakened in me lets me have a healing so that I may be present with you. Christ awakened within me lets me have a healing of consciousness so that I may be present with you. Let's just take that thought. Christ awakened in me lets me be present for myself and all beings. That's a short version of what I was saying before. The Christ awakened in me lets me be present with for myself and all beings. Let's take that into the silence and see what comes up. Christ awakened in me heals me now that I may be present for myself and all beings. How fantastic! So, in the confidence of that affirmation, in the confidence of knowing that is true and divinely demonstrable, let's start our journey back here. Seeing the flame flicker and grow. Our journey back here to this sanctuary, this place called Unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, and fully aware of the good that has just taken place as we say thank you and amen. Leo, let's hear Nancy sing.
So many things we can't control. So many hurts that happen every day. So many heartaches that pierce the soul. So much pain that won't ever go away. How do we make it better? How do we make it through? What can we do when there's nothing we can do? We can be kind. We can take care of each other. We can remember that deep down inside we all need the same thing. And maybe we'll find, if we are there for each other, that together we'll weather whatever tomorrow may bring. Nobody really wants to fight. Nobody to go to war. If everyone wants to make things right, then what are we always fighting for? Does nobody want to see it? Does nobody understand? The power to heal is right here in our hand. We can be and remember that deep down inside we all need the same thing. And maybe we'll find, if we are there for each other, that together we'll weather whatever tomorrow may bring. And it's not enough to talk, sing a song. We must walk the walk about it. You and I, do or die. We've got to try to get along. We can be kind. We can take care of each other. We can remember that deep down inside need the same thing. And maybe we'll find, if we are there for each other, that together we'll weather whatever tomorrow may bring. And maybe of mind, if we always remember we can be
yay. Leo, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate that. And yes, Jesus' message was that we love. And for Juneteenth, for Pride, for Father's Day, all these things that can bring up a lot of stuff. You know, Juneteenth was created by people who wanted to know that they are loved. They wanted to find a way to know that they are loved in spite of all that has taken place for them and their ancestors. Pride, gay pride, is finding a way to declare, I am loved and lovable despite what other people think. A lot of people have parental issues, you know, and we've had to find ways to declare that we are loved. And it's not because many of us feel disempowered. And we have forgotten the love of God, or the love that God is, it seems so remote and just an idea, not a reality. You know, a lot of people, we don't really believe what we claim to believe in unity and what have you. And when I came into unity, I was so grateful to find out that what unity was telling me had to be the truth, despite what the world was telling me, despite what the world had told me for most of my life. I knew there was more to life than what my mother thought. I knew there was more to life than what my grandparents thought. I knew there was more to life than what our neighbors thought. So what it tells you is I lived in a very limited thinking, rather unloving community. Most of the people I knew growing up did not know that they were loved. You know, they thought love was for individuals and it was personal rather than transcendent. And I came into unity. I think I'd started learning it beforehand because I discovered a lot of people who loved me and I didn't do anything to earn it. I you know, for them personally, I was having a healing journey. And so that is, and so these people, they just loved me because I was one of their tribe, as it were. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful. We don't come from backgrounds that are the same. We don't, there's so many things we do not have in common. We had one thing in common, really, and that was a desire to no longer hurt ourselves. And so we found each other. And, you know, there's groups of them all over the world and groups of people who sit in rooms and seek to not hurt themselves today. Charles Fillmore in The Revealing Word says that love is a divine attribute. It is an idea in the mind, the one mind. God is love. Love is God, or a quality of being. So you see, God is love, love, God is love, love is God. And it is a quality of being, capital B, being. The difference between divine love and human love is that divine love is broad and unlimited, a universal and harmonizing power. Human love is based on personality and is selfish, lawless, and fickle. Think about that for a second. And it is, you know, it's easy to love people who love me, genuinely love me, and it's easy to like people who agree with me. Oh, aren't they the best? You know, whoever those people are that agree with me today, that just embrace me into their circle. Oh, that's so wonderful. Because we agree. But to love the people who don't always agree with us, to love the people who are confused, to love the people who forget or who have forgotten, that's harder. Unless I tap my mind consciously into the transcendent mind of love. Let me join together today. Let all our minds, I'm looking around like there's a bunch of people here. Let's all join together. You're about to hear some music here. Kenneth's about to sing in the next room. But let us all join together today in the transcendent love. Let's get on board with that transcendent love that permeates all minds and unites all beings, because it's the way that it is in truth. Let us consciously join in what is true, meaning that which cannot change, does not change, cannot change. Let us all join together in that. I'm going to read you something from my favorite book here, The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. And it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. And it says, the reason for all things is love. Division is the opposite of love because division excludes. Love cannot exclude. Love is whole, knowing only truth. Become as an empty shell to know love. That is your reason. That is your true desire. Think about that. Oh, my true desire is to know love. To look on the world and divide it by judging is not love. judging positive or negative. It's not love. And so it is not what you want. Lay down what you do not want and accept fully that which you do. You have to lay down what you do not want. So you see, Juneteenth, Pride, what have you, these are coming together to claim dignity for ourselves, to claim a sense of love for ourselves. If we are doing it to hurt those who victimized us, our perpetrators, if we're doing it to hurt those people, it's not going to work. It can't ever work. If what we do is not in the best interest of all people, imagine that. And it's so hard. Oh my goodness, it's hard. You know, I once was in a group and I was talking about forgiveness and somebody said, I'm not forgiving anybody, because he had been so abused by his parental units that he, and his father in particular, he said, I'm not forgiving anybody. And it's like, but you're going to live in that unforgiveness. You're going to live in that resentment. You're going to live in that, which is not the authentic part of your being. They didn't want to hear that. They were mad, and they were going to stay mad until they didn't have to stay anymore in that place. And it's hard. I still have my resentments, Lord knows. And But I keep looking. I keep looking for ways through. I keep praying for a way to see in honesty and in freedom. I guess that's the best way. In freedom. So let's look at a little more at this. In reality, there's only one love. And when man expresses divine love in limited ways, he makes a separation in consciousness, and his expression of love is personal instead of universal. If I'm loving in order to get, it's not going to happen. I need to love because I have. It's within me, whether it's has demonstrated before now or not, doesn't matter. Today is the day to wake up and realize, oh, love is within me. It's always been within me. And it's my job to heal the world by loving. Love myself, love my neighbor. Or love God, love myself, love my neighbor. And someone said, but how do I get past what happened before? Here's how. Love God, love myself, love my neighbor. The more we live up to those two commandments, may seem like three, but it's actually two, according to our Bible. Jesus, love the Lord your God, and then love the your neighbor as yourself. And I've asked this question so many times, but, you know, who's it harder to love, your neighbor or yourself? And I can't do a show of hands here, but I'll tell you now, it's harder to love God. Much harder to love God than it is yourself and your neighbor. Because if I loved God fully, I'd have no problem with my neighbor or myself. But to love God is to love life, is just to love for the sake of loving. And to realize there is so much more than what I see and what I think and what I feel. And so to keep looking at all that, say, okay, I want to love for the sake of loving, and I don't want to hold out on anyone. Believe me, we don't want to hold out on anyone. But love isn't like love is love. I guess the best way I can think of it when I have prayed for my enemies is that when I pray to become willing that they succeed, and I don't hold back on them. Now, to me, because I understand that anyone's success makes the world a better place. We're not talking about someone's greed. We're not talking about someone's avarice. We're not talking about that they succeed in hurting anyone. What we're talking about is that they succeed in their heart's desire, just as I want to succeed in my heart's desire. And my heart's desire is to love. And trust me, those other people, those ones, we could name names here, but we're not going to, their heart's desire is to be fully consciously aware that they are loved with an everlasting love and can't not be loved. It's just the way that it is. So reading on here, divine love will establish one in fearlessness and courage. For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, my goodness, I'm going to quote the Bible here, For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. By establishing ourselves in the consciousness of divine love and expressing that love at all times, we are helped to fulfill the command. Love your enemies. Most of us have heard that our whole life, in one form, one church or another. Love your enemies. We'll look at that in a second. And it says, do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you, and bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Okay, let's go with that last one. Pray for them. Here's how I pray for another one. I go within and I say, I need help to love these people. I need an experience of forgiveness so that I may love this being that I have judgment about, and I know my judgment is wrong. I know without a doubt my judgment is wrong because it is not loving and it is not kind. It is hateful and hating. And I just want to get rid of this person so that I don't have to think about them anymore and I don't have to fear them coming back and trying to hurt me. You know, that's the pray. My prayer about my dad, my father was, God, I need help here. Show me how to forgive my father, my dad, because I don't know how to. How do I go about experiencing forgiveness for my dad? And that word experience came up in that prayer. I hadn't planned that word. And I thought, oh, so prayer is an experience. And I did, and it took over a year before the occasion arose where I could release that my dad had left me, where he became Jack instead of my dad who left me. And it was continuous prayer, and I no longer needed him not to have left me. And that was fascinating to me, that to witness that. I was an active participant in it, and I witnessed the results. Well, just one day there, I didn't need him not to have left. I found out, I have two half-brothers, I found out their life with him wasn't better than my life without him. And so to keep going that way, it's like, oh my goodness, how wonderful that it is possible. Well, I had been so resentful. And later on, when somebody else I was releasing, and I realized, how come I didn't release him before? It was my last stepfather. I didn't release him, but I released my mother and dad. And I thought, oh, so I pick and choose. I pick and choose who I'm going to hold on to a grudge about and who I'm going to release. I am now the one who has the say in it. And that to me is what Juneteenth was about, is about, and Pride is about, and so many other movements to claim dignity and love. It's I can release the pain enough to create an environment that is kind and loving for lots and lots of people. And so to keep moving that way in our journey is to set us all free. It sets myself free, it sets my neighbor free, and it sets those I have been resenting free. If I no longer have an open pathway of resentment, to say, you should not have done this to me or my people, and I'm not going to forgive you. There's no pathway into the kingdom for that. But to say, I want to experience forgiveness for what I believe were injustices. But you see, what actually happened is there were confusion. There was a lot of confusion that led to the injustice. There's still a lot of confusion that leads to injustice and people lashing out because the self-loathing that runs rampant in our world, the people that just hate themselves, and they hate themselves, and they want to get rid of that hate so much. And so what they do is they go hurt somebody else. And it doesn't help the hate, so they go hurt some more people. And it still doesn't help the self-loathing. And it's like, if I didn't have to look at you, then I wouldn't have to hate myself. And we're here today in this celebration service to realize my hurting somebody because I was hurt will not end the hurt. It just continues it. And so let's let's start working on how do I see correctly? How do I begin to look at people? My people, all my people, doesn't matter what color, what sexuality, what gender. Let me look at my people in love. We're the same species. Let's look in love. And my people are my species. And it has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with that. That's where the confusion came. Oh, you look different. Let me hate you. Oh, you look the same. Let me love you. But even the people we claim to love, we don't love them so much if they don't agree with us. We want to love each other whether we agree on everything or not. It was Myrtle Fillmore, I believe, who quoted Jesus, who said, I chose you and appointed you that ye should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, that whatsoever ye shall ask of God in my name, he may give it to you. What does that mean, in my name, in Jesus? It means I believe too. I believe, and you should believe too, that there is good, that there is healing possibilities. Mrs. Fillmore goes on to say, when we expect God's help in our expression and prosperity, we are to come in the name of sons. Well, so what that means is in the name of the Christ. The Christ is not Jesus. The Christ is a consciousness. And in our teachings, Christ is actually the Son of God, not Jesus, but Christ. And so anyone that is awakened to their Christ consciousness, and you can have other words for it, doesn't matter, all equals the same. That is the Son of God, awakened now. And so Jesus was not the only one. Jesus is an example that we choose to use in unity. Myrtle goes on to say, we are to see to it that the work we are doing is God's work. And what would God's work be but love? And the very highest type of real service of which we feel capable, when we know this to be true, we're not anxious or concerned with results. We are interested in carrying out God's directions and in doing that which is truly best for all concerned. Somebody wants to say, how do I know what's the best for all concerned? Love is the best for all concerned. Sorry, I gotta take a sip here. It's the best for all concerned is always going to be love. Love, love, love. I may not know exactly what love is, but I'm pretty familiar with what it is not. And if you really want to come down to it, love is not special. It's not specialness. It's natural. And so to be our journey, our spirit, daily spiritual work, to go within and ask the highest voice within you, how do I love today? What is the best way for me to love today? Myself and all beings, all beings. I go out of my way now in public places to be kind and loving to everyone that I come in contact with, even the ones that annoy me, the ones that impose themselves on me noisily, clumsily, they burst through. They're not aware that other people exist. I work diligently now to love those people because they're people, because they're God's beloved beings, as opposed to noisy, intrusive people, as opposed to personalities. The personalities can forget. They have a built-in forgetter. But the real people, the God-like people that have remembered, they make up for the other ones. So if I can work together, if I can be the one who remembers today, what a great day this is going to be. And I guess that's where my message lies today is, let's get with it, people. Jesus' message was love. Let's get with it and start loving. Many of you already do this. I know it. I've heard you be kind in places where I was not so kind. I was judgmental and intolerant. And I see some of the others of you like, wow, look at you. You're kind and you're loving and you're nice. And you're showing me, you're teaching me today how to love rather than judge, rather than condemn, because I was inconvenienced. I'm going to skip over to that. Oh. Myrtle Fillmore says, so before we can truly pray, as Jesus says we should, and an answer to which he says God will do what we ask God, we must learn really to love our own special self and do that which is best for us, and incidentally, best for all others. I spent a lot of years trying to get loved. And I spent those same amount of years telling myself I wasn't loved. So many years, I said, I'm not loved. If I were loved, this wouldn't be happening. I told this story at Symphony Space once. I don't think I've told it online. One day, 2 years ago, I was in our kitchen. David's in my kitchen. And I went to open the refrigerator door, and the handle was just covered in schmutz. It's just what it sounds like. It's like you put your hand in cake batter and then opened up the door with it and then walked away without cleaning the doorknob. Schmutz. You know, it's a messiness that comes with sticky, whatever you have, sticky and messy, and you spread it around. And so that's what was on the door. And I thought, for years, I was so mad at David for doing things like that. It would be crumbs, be a messy counter, dirty dishes. And I looked at it that day and I just went, oh my. I said, David, and David was sitting in the kitchen at the time. I said, David, would you come here and look at this? And he came over, assuming I was going to be angry with him. And I said, David, do you see this schmutz all over this door? I said, I want to apologize to you right now. For 17 years, that's how long we were together at that point. For 17 years, I've been telling myself I'm not loved because of schmutz on the refrigerator door. For 17 years, I have told myself I am not loved over schmutz. I apologize. It's schmutz. It's not an absence of love. And so I realize now, at this age, I've been around plenty of time, I've been telling myself I'm not loved because people don't always treat me right, what I feel is right. People don't always treat me the way I want to be treated. And so I tell myself I'm not loved. When the subway is leaving the station just as I'm walking in, I tell myself I'm not loved. When the zeros in my bank account don't add up to what I wish they did, I tell myself I'm not loved. When the street is all crumbly, I tell myself I'm not loved. When the weather outside is not what I want it to be, I tell myself I'm not loved. When the scale tells me I weigh a certain amount of pounds, I tell myself I'm not loved. I've stopped doing this, but when my hair didn't cooperate, I told myself I was not loved. When flights get canceled, I tell myself I'm not loved. When they are delayed by several hours, I can tell myself I'm not loved. When someone in the store looks at me in askance, I guess is the word, I can tell myself I'm not loved. And here's the good news, everybody. It's never true. I am always loved. I am always, always loved and cannot not be loved. And so are you. You are always loved and cannot not be loved. So as you go on about your day today and things come up, you know, if we fall down, if we get a doctor's diagnosis that scares us, if someone is radically unkind or even cruel, do not tell yourself that you are not loved. I am loved. I'm absolutely loved. And then allow circumstances to shift. I am loved. Do not try to punish someone for what they have done to you. That doesn't mean justice should not be served, you know, legally, things like that. But let us not try to hurt another person, to kill another person's spirit because they hurt us. Do not let ourselves kill our own spirit because someone has hurt us. And if we have hurt another, let us forgive ourselves and make restitution or amends where necessary. Jesus' message was love. Let's get with it, people, and live the joyous life that we are promised, that we are absolutely promised. We're coming out of an odd time. The unusual things have taken place in the earth and on the earth and in our bodies. Things we didn't think could happen in our lifetime. We thought those were things that happened in other ages, other centuries, and they happened in ours. And now, as we move forward, we have to open up our windows and our doors. You know, David and Paul Rolnick wrote a song called Let the Music Play. And it's all about coming out of a confused time. It is about coming out and letting life take place in new and wondrous ways. David and I have an affirmation we started using every day. And it says, I wonder what wonderful surprises God has in store for me today. Well, what if that surprise for you today was you're willing to forgive those who have persecuted you and your people, whoever your people may be? What if the opportunity arose to be totally rendered free, to not need the past to be different, and not need to repeat the past in order to figure it out? What if the wonderful surprise today is the ability to love and to be joy-filled and to be generous and to have no enemies? What if that's the wonderful surprise today? So today, as I move forward alongside all of you, I wonder what wonderful surprises God has in store for us today. Let's let the music play. Thank you.
We've been living life apart. We felt hopeless and depressed, with a song deep in our heart that had no place to be expressed. But a brand new day is dawning, as at last we find our way. On this bright and glorious morning, it is finally time to say, let the music play, that our voices soar, starting now today. The night, we have found our way. Now the time is right. Let the music play. With the voices we've been hearing, saying help is on the way. And so many of us fearing we would never see that day. We're beginning to break through now, no more need to stay inside, as these promises come true now and our hearts can open wide. Let the music play, let our voices soar, starting now today and forevermore. We've come through the night, we have found our stages burst with song. Let us fill our empty theaters and put music, love, and life and laughter.